Okay. Welcome to Chorus Call. Please hold for an operator. Welcome to Chorus Call. Please hold for an operator.
Can I help you?
Yeah, connect me to Nirlon Limited conference call.
Sorry, which call?
Nirlon Limited.
Nirlon. Yeah, what's your name?
Pranali Patil from Aiden Investment. Connect me to Nirlon Limited conference call. Nirlon.
The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been connected to the Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of Nirnol Limited. Requesting all the participants to please stay connected. This conference call will begin shortly. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of Nirnol Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Nirnol Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2022. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and give it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Rahul Sagar, Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director, Mr. Kunal Sagar, Promoter and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Manish Parikh, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Jasmine Bhavsar, Company Secretary and Vice President, Legal and Compliance Officer, and Mr. Ashish Baradia, DGM of Business Development, Nirnol Management Services Private Limited. And without any further delay, I request Mr. Kunal Sagar to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 22. We hope you are all safe and well. Since 2006, Nirnol has primarily been in the business of development and management of commercial real estate by creating an IT park on its approximately 23 acres of land in Goregaon East in Mumbai. This development is known as Nirnol Knowledge Park, or NKP. NKP has been constructed in phases, with 4 out of 5 phases of development completed by 2015. The final phase of development is expected to be completed in this current financial year. Phases 1 to 4 have a chargeable area of approximately 1.9 million square feet, and the soon-to-be-completed Phase 5 will have a chargeable area of approximately 1.16 million square feet. These numbers, areas rather, are on the basis of 80% efficiency. GIC of Singapore became the majority shareholder and a co-promoter in 2015 by an open offer through its affiliate Rico Berry Private Limited, Rico, of Singapore, and currently has a 63.92% holding in the company. Let us now take you through the financial performance of the company. For this first quarter of financial year 2022, the company reported a total income of approximately 76 crores and an EBITDA of approximately 52 crores, representing an EBITDA margin of 68.2%. Profit after tax stood at approximately 27 crores, representing a profit after tax margin of 34.95%. Licensee fee collections in the first quarter of 2021-22 were approximately 99% of billing. The reduction in top and bottom line numbers this quarter is primarily due to two situations. One is the effect of the vacancies during the quarter one financial year 22. This effect was negligible in quarter four of the financial one of the financial year 21 due to the vacancies arising only late in that quarter. And two, increase in quarter one costs due to monsoon related and structural repairs required to be done in this first quarter as planned, and changes in accounting rules requiring the company's CSR liability for the entire year to be recognized at the beginning of the financial year itself. Moving on to the operational highlights, COVID vaccinations. The company has vaccinated with at least the first dose almost all its employees, contractors, vendors and personnel, and the eligible family members who work in NKP and the longhouse. The second dose will also be administered to such employees as soon as possible once they are eligible as per government guidelines. Licensing. As on 30th June 2021, approximately 158,000 square feet area was vacant, as against approximately 190,000 square feet on 31st of March 2021. The company is currently in advanced discussions to license or to receive commitments for another approximately 88,000 square feet in NKP during the July-September quarter. Further license commitments are anticipated in the second half of this financial year as well. As mentioned in our last call, the entire Phase 5 chargeable area of approximately 1.16 million square feet has been committed by JP Morgan. We estimate JP Morgan will take handover of Phase 5 in quarter 3 of financial year 22, subject to any new adverse COVID-19 or monsoon-related delays. Dividend. Once the company has confirmation on the handover date and consequent license fee commencement date for Phase 5 from its prospective licensee, it will recommend dividend, whether interim or final, to the maximum extent deemed prudent after ensuring it has adequate cash reserves to meet any potential contingencies. In this context, more specific guidance on dividend payouts will be made available in the coming quarters. With this, we conclude our presentation and open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The first question is from the line of Aniket Kulkarni from Premium Brokers. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on the fair results. My first question is, are we still going to get, are we still going to hold true in terms of revenue generation from the JP Morgan in Q4? Because I think there is a time lag between giving them position and the revenue generation. So has that timeline been pushed a bit, or is it still the same as mentioned in the last con call and your current presentation?
For JP Morgan, we are expecting that they will take possession in the October-December quarter. There is a 5-month rent free after that as contracted. Those that has remained unchanged. If they take possession in either October or November, that will allow some element of license fee to be received in the fourth quarter if one calculates 5 months from either October or November. If, however, they take possession in December, then, of course, the license fee commencement would begin in the first quarter of the next financial year and not this one. Does that... Yes?
Yeah, that covers my question. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Mansinga from White Pine Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. Rahul, can you just share what your thoughts on how the leasing of this 125,000 square feet, which is vacant, will be done? And can you also share something about the market environment in leasing right now?
Okay.
Just for clarification, so did you say 125,000 square feet?
I heard that actually. 190 was in March 2021 end, right?
Correct, and it's 158,000 now at the end of June.
50. Sorry for that. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah.
Sure. So, as we mentioned, we are in advanced discussions presently to license approximately 88,000 square feet out of the 158,000 that was vacant at the end of June. We also expect that there will be further inquiries which would fructify into licenses in the October-March 22-23 half year. Does that answer your question? So if that panned out as planned, then we would be effectively moving from 158,000 on June 30th as vacant space to less 88,000 to approximately 70,000 by the end of September 2021, and subsequently lower than that.
And this, I'm guessing, are in advanced stages, am I right?
Yes.
Okay. The other question is, can you share me something about the environment of leasing market right now?
We had mentioned in our last call that in general the market was slower in terms of the uptake of space than it was prior to COVID. In the last quarter, I would like to say that it's been cautiously a little bit better than it was. The first quarter of 2022 has been better in terms of inquiries and conversion of inquiries relative to the fourth quarter of 2021. I say that cautiously, but I would say it's been a little better, and we are hoping that trend continues in the July, September, and subsequent quarters as well. It's not yet what it was before COVID, but it does seem a little bit better at this point. However, it's a little early to make that as a definitive statement to say that it's much better. But it's not. We do feel it's slightly improved from the earlier quarter.
Okay. The question is on the rentals with the JP Morgan. Can you share something about how much CAM charges would be approximately? What's an estimate of the CAM charges and how will it flow? Like, will it flow to you directly or they will pay the charges to the cost? And can you just share how the revenue will be done and will you be making some amount of margin in the CAM charges also?
Yes, we can we can do that. Our CAM charges are on an open book system. We open our books to the licensees so that they can check what we have billed them for, and they can question us, and we'll give them answers to what we have been billing them for. We essentially break it up into two components. One is CAM itself, and then there are common area utilities as well that we charge separately to CAM. Both are on an actual basis, of course. On the CAM portion of it, we have a specific defined and agreed margin, and we don't have any margin on the common area utility part of it. In general, CAM charges in Nirlon are approximately 17 or 18 rupees per square foot per month, including the common area maintenance charges. And that's approximately what it is.
And what range of EBIT margin would you be making in the CAM charges that you'll be approximating?
It's approximately 13 to 15%. Can I just ask our team to confirm that that's the margin we have, the CAM margins?
Okay.
Yeah, today the margin is approximately 15%.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that. But and the JP Morgan, the lease that you have been talking about, it's under, the EBITDA that you're talking of 200 crores, does it include this CAM margin EBITDA or does it exclude that?
Is your question whether the approximately 200 crores of top line that will be added from JP Morgan, does that include or exclude CAM? Is that your question, just to be sure?
200 crores of EBITDA.
We have, if I remember our presentation correctly, the 200 crores we've mentioned is the addition to the top line. Okay. What we've said is that the we haven't specifically mentioned an EBITDA number. So the 200 crores is not referring to an EBITDA. It's referring to the top line increase, the effectively the license fee increase as a result of JP Morgan's licensing the space. So the increase in top line is about 200 crores. That 200 crores is without considering any CAM. That's purely the license fee revenue without the CAM or the CAM margin.
Got it. But what would be the cost that you would incur beyond that 200 crore of revenue? Because CAM charges, you are taking it separately.
So yes. The costs, as far as the increase in cost when post JP Morgan bidding license fees is confined to property management charges, which are 3% of the top line, a specific defined amount of property tax. These are the two main increases in charges. The increase in costs, rather. There are no other proportionate increase in costs that are likely once JP Morgan begins to pay their license fees, and hence we have made a statement in our report to say that we, on the basis of that, we do expect that margins will improve once JP Morgan begins, because the increase in costs is not in any way commensurate to the increase in the license fees.
Yeah, got it. And the last question about your, the question I asked last quarter as well. How do you see that, return of share money to shareholders in terms of larger value? Because ultimately, in 1 or 2 years, I see the entire debt getting repaid from the cash flow, maybe 2.5 years. So, any thoughts you have had on this?
I'm sorry, Neera, I'm not able to hear the question. Can I just ask you to repeat it a little slower, please?
Sure. See, because last quarter also I asked the same question about how do you expect to the investors to monetize the value of the earnings. You partially said that you have a dividend plan. Any more discussions you have had and any more thoughts on how do you want to monetize for the investor?
Yes, that's what we had tried to put forward in our opening statements, that once we have confirmation on the handover date and consequent licensee commencement date for phase 5 from JP Morgan, we will recommend dividend, whether it's interim or final payout, to the maximum extent that we feel is appropriate or prudent after ensuring that we have enough cash to meet any potential contingency. So the idea or the thought process is that we will not hold on to cash, but we will be distributing that cash after appropriate contingency planning to investors. Does that answer your question?
No, it opens up another question that there are two points. One, dividend is a significant inefficient way right now because of the full taxation in the hand of shareholders. One. Number two, why can't you think of a larger way of, you know, like a REIT or a, some other way where, you know, the investors can get a REIT share, or because REITs trade at valuations which are significantly, I think, 6.5-7% yield, and after JP Morgan, we'll have almost 500 crores of EBITDA of the company. The trading yield is almost 13-14%. So I just wanted to ask that question.
So if I understood correctly, you are asking whether we can improve the efficiency of the distribution we do, for example, by looking at the REIT structure. Am I correct?
Yes. Or delisting, whatever you think is. Yeah, I just wanted to know on that side, because dividend is just a temporary cash flow, right? It's not a longer term capital build for the investors. Or that way.
So what we are doing is essentially we are looking at the REIT legislation as it exists today to see that a company with our status as a public limited listed company, how we can take advantage of the existing REIT legislation to improve the efficiency of our distributions through dividends. And that is a process that we are evaluating very seriously with our stakeholders and with our advisors. We do understand the context of your question, and this is a similar answer to what we had mentioned the last time. And we will continue to do that to see if there is a more efficient way of returning cash or returning payments to shareholders.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I was just looking at your earnings presentation, and you said that the debt post completion of phase 5 would be 1200 crores. So I just wanted to know, once you include the deposit that you would receive for phase 5 and, you know, some cash flow that would occur if, you know, they take, if you hand over the possession October, November or December, what would be your estimate as the March 22 closing number for the debt?
The March 22 closing number for the debt would be about 1200 crores, as we mentioned. I didn't fully understand what you meant by.
So what I understand.
Deposit aspect of it, sorry.
Yeah. So what I understand is that once phase 5 is complete, your debt would be about 1200 crores.
And that is correct.
Then you would receive a deposit once you hand over phase 5. And there would also be some amount of cash flow accumulation that you will get from the existing phase 1 to phase 4. So I was just trying to understand what would be the debt number that would be there post, this handover of phase 5.
Sure. So at this point, we are planning to maintain the debt level at about 1200 crores despite receiving the deposits as you mentioned, and the surplus cash flows as well, which is why we mentioned that we don't intend to hold on to any extra surplus cash that we have, whether it's from deposit or whether it's from especially from our surplus cash flows. We intend to distributing that after making sure that we have adequate contingencies cash on our books. Does that help with your question?
Yeah. What would be the number for the deposit? If you could just, specify the number that you would be receiving for.
Can I ask our team? mention what the deposit number will be after we have the full deposit from JP Morgan as well as from our earlier are you asking from our earlier phases or just the JP Morgan number?
Just the JP Morgan, because that would be the new one, right? So, you know, that would give us an indication.
JP Morgan deposit finally, which is equal to about 9 months as per our contract, which is a registered document, is about 150 crores, of which we've currently received about 100 crores.
This is for phase 5, right?
Correct, yes.
And you're saying that even after you include this deposit post the handover, the debt at the end of the year would be 12 months.
That's correct. We would we are targeting a debt level of 1200 at the end of phase 5 and even post receiving the deposits from JP Morgan. That's correct.
All right. That answers my question. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Aniket Kulkarni from Premium Brokers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I had two questions. First is regarding the advanced stock that we are having regarding the 88,000 square feet. Are the current rates that we are giving them, are they lower or higher or kind of similar to the earlier lease that was there for those particular spaces?
They're at similar rates.
Similar rates, okay. And
right.
My second, thank you. And second question is with regards to the debt, as you have mentioned, it will be close to 1200 crores at the end of this year. Do you have anything to say with regards to what it will be in, say, FY23 and FY24 going forward? Like, what is the plan for debt reduction or the debt plan?
We are presently evaluating what we would like our optimum debt number to be. And we are speaking with various people to understand all our options as regards whether we'd like to have a loan that is an amortizing loan, whether we'd like to have a loan that is a non-amortizing loan and try and do a balloon payment later. Those are options that are currently being evaluated by us. So at this point, we have a good understanding of what our debt level will be at the end of March 2022, but we will in the next 3 to 6 months decide as to what our level of debt would be post that and what the nature of the loan would be in terms of whether it would be self-amortizing, what the period might be, or whether it might be effectively an interest-only payment, loan with a balloon payment at a later stage.
Okay, understood. That covers my question. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Participants to ask a question may press star and one now. This is a reminder to the participants. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kunal Sagar from Nilon India for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Anuj, can I request you to confirm that there are, whether there are any further participants or any further questions?
No, I think we are. There are no further questions, so we can conclude.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate your participation and your interest, and we look forward to being in touch again in the coming quarter.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nirlon Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.